Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the highest graded copy of Fantastic Four number one ever offered by Heritage Auctions is expected to fetch seven figures when it goes under the hammer this month. If you have comics, how do you know if you've a rare treasure or a dud? Well, to tell us more about comics is Stephen Mooney, Marvel artist and comic collector. Stephen, how are you today?
Hi, how you doing? I'm not too bad. You're good.
What's so special about the Fantastic Four number one, do you know?
Well, it's the first appearance of several major characters in the 1960s. In 1963, it was one of the first ever team books that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby came up with. You probably heard those names, especially Stan Lee, who was kind of the architect of the original Marvel Universe. So it's basically, if it's a big first appearance, like Mr. Fantastic or the Invisible Woman or the Human Torch or the Thing, that ramps up the prices. And obviously, it depends on conditioning and things as well, but there's all sorts of different aspects that go into it.
Right. So would this be someone had just been sitting on this since 1960? Somebody just innocently bought it as a fan back in 1960 and has managed to hang on to it?
Yes and no. I mean, we've probably all got a few comics that our uncles or our dads might have brought back from the States or that are our absolute rag order.
Yes.
Like hand towels or tea cozies or things. So that really wouldn't get you anywhere. It's if you've got some, I would say, approaching a pristine comic, which I don't know how well they would have been kept back in the day. So there's a huge amount of luck involved in the condition that the comic would be in. But if you've got something that looks like it was bought yesterday, then you're in luck if it's old and it has major appearances.
What are the chances, though? You know, most people, when you buy something, you're buying it to read it. Well, it's kind of reminded me of albums. You know, when people went out on day one and bought Sgt. Pepper, you know, so did 7 million other people.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, if you had yours down the back of the couch, then no one's going to want to touch it. It's the same with comics, is it?
Very much so, yeah. It's a bit, because, you know, it's such a niche collector, super nerd mentality. Like, so if somebody's putting down what it would be tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars or euros on something like this, it has to absolutely be in pristine condition. And they're graded within an inch of their life. And there's people's jobs in the States who are just comic book graders, and they literally spend their full time grading old comic books and assigning them marks and numbers and how many fingerprints might be on them, or have been in contact with the air for so long, and have they been covered in mylar plastic to keep them going. It's crazy, really.
My God, wow. Yeah. So this is a 9.6, they say.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's really good, is it? The highest graded copy of Fantastic Four, seven figures expected on it.
Yeah.
Goes back to 1961. They say it's the one that launched the Marvel Age. I don't really understand what that means. What was that about?
Well, you've seen, I mean, the one thing I can go to is the movies nowadays. Everybody's seen the Avengers movies, of course, were huge. And there's the X-Men films, and recently Daredevil Wolverine was just out. All those major Marvel characters began to be created in the 1960s. And the Fantastic Four was the first super team, I suppose you could say. Superman at DC Comics was the big one that opened the floodgates. He was the first, well, I mean, it's debatable, but he was considered the first real superhero. And his first appearance, Action Comics 1, and if it's graded at the 9 point, you know, upper echelons of 9.9 or 9.8, you're looking at millions of dollars for something like that. So the next rung down would be the ones that came after. And the Fantastic Four was the first major release from Marvel Comics that was a super team, by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, and then there's other people like Steve Ditko that were involved in these, like Spider-Man 1, which came soon after. And again, if you've got a highly graded copy, and again, it's it's an awful long shot, but if you do, you're looking at serious money for those, because they just kicked off what now has become a major multimedia operation, like your billion-dollar industry with the films and everything, and it all stems from those original comics.
Right, I have to ask you, is there the least snowball's chance in hell that someone listening to this radio show at the moment who was growing up in the 60s or the 70s and who was collecting comics might possibly have one of those in their possession?
Yes, I wouldn't go empty in your attic. It happens. Now, Ireland, obviously, I mean, it's another step removed being over here. We didn't have those comics in sale here. So again, it was a relative bringing them back from England or somewhere where you might have been able to get them. But it's all about if you had a relative. Now, people my age, I'm in my 40s, so I suppose you're in your 60s or 70s then, and you were somehow sourcing that stuff in Ireland in the 60s, then you could be onto a winner. But I mean, it's like buying a lottery ticket. I wouldn't be counting your chickens. It's possible, though.
But still, though, I mean, I had American cousins.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, when I was growing up, they would visit us. I can't really remember if they brought us comic books or not, though. But there might be some people, a lot of people had American cousins. They could have been bringing them over, couldn't they?
They could well have been bringing them over. Kids back then, especially, comics were ubiquitous. They were everywhere because, like you say, it was a cheap form of entertainment. And it's not like now where kids have movies, video games, all these other forms of entertainment that might be perceived as a little bit more action-packed or interesting. Comic books were it, you know, they were the height back then. So kids were definitely reading them all over the world as to whether they made their way here. And then, I mean, precisely what you're saying led to a massive speculation boom and bust after the fact, because people were so into the idea of having this nest egg somewhere they could stumble upon that they might have bought when they were a kid, or their parents bought them when they were a kid. And then obviously all the speculation that goes with that, and it becomes a collector's market, and it gets huge, and then it goes up and it goes straight down again like anything else.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But I'm just trying to paint the picture, because I can't help but think that if you did have cousins who brought over one of these or some of these or a box of these comics from the States, you would have valued them the moment you saw them, because the graphics were sensational, weren't they? They were the moment you saw them, you were going, they're fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They were like nothing else, especially back then, like the superheroes. I mean, everywhere you look, towels, pajamas, duvets, it's superheroes coming out your ears now, but back then this was it.
Like they
were blowing the doors off people's imaginations in the 60s, the 50s, so it was huge. So people definitely put them away and knew they were cool and special, but as to who kept them in good condition, that's
right.
The real question.
Well, I can't help but think that, you know, there would be children out there who are very careful with their possessions. There's always a few of them, and if they, you know, looked after them and put them away safely, people could be, they could be gone now. You could possibly find them in your attic, for all you know.
Yeah, but if your attic looks like my attic, are you willing to put the work in and dig it out if it's in there?
For 7.5 million, I think there's every chance I'll put the work in. All right, Stephen.
Counterpoint.
I think I'll go through your attic for 7.5 million, Stephen. If they did have stuff, can you bring into a comic shop, or what do you do?
You could, yeah. The comic shop, the lads and the ladies who own the shops in Dublin and around the country would know what to do with them. I mean, it would be a case of sending them over to America to this crowd that grade them, Comics Grading Authority. But if you go to conventions, those people can be have a table or a booth or whatever you want to call it, and people will bring their comics specifically to a comic convention just to have these people grade their old books and to give them an idea of a price. And there's a whole price guide. It's like a phone book. It's so thick that tells you what each book from each era is worth or might be worth in this condition. And there's 10 different prices to tell you what 9.1, 9.2, 9.3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a big market. It's a very, very niche market, but there's real money in it if you have the lottery ticket, you know.
Right. Hopefully there's going to be loads of searches happening as we speak now. A listener wants to know, would Dennis the Menace comics be worth anything?
Good question. That's the kind of stuff I might have. Beano number one, Dandy number one.
Yeah.
A copy of number one in good condition probably would be worth some money. Now, you're not looking at 1960s Fantastic Four X-Men money, but I imagine tens of thousands at least. I don't have any experience of selling those myself, but a good condition copy of number one certainly would be worth something.
So it's number one, Dennis the Menace, the very first, has to be
generally the first appearance. It doesn't have to be number one. Like, for instance, take Wolverine, who you could say is one of the most popular comic book characters right now in the world. He appeared in a book called The Incredible Hulk, issue 181, which is way into the run of Incredible Hulk. But it was the first issue that Wolverine, as a bad guy, actually came in. So that issue was very, very expensive because of the first appearance of Wolverine. It's nowhere near being in issue one. So there's all sorts of factors going into it. But generally, the number ones are worth it.
Okay. I have another question for you. Could you ask your guest if he remembers the shop, The Alchemist's Head in Dublin back in the 80s, where you could buy comics and American comics for 10 pence?
Oh, you're going a little bit before my time. It sounds savage, though.
Yeah, it does.
No, I don't.
All right,
I was about
three.
Five at that point, so I wasn't buying comics.
Another listener says, I bought DC comics in the 60s. I had a good collection of Avengers, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, G.I. Joe, Sergeant Easy, etc. My beloved sister didn't approve of war violence, and sadly, my collection disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the classic story. My mom threw it all out. My dad cleared the attic. That's the one I hear more of. Than anything. And if the hindsight is like, I had this gone.
Oh God, you'd be kicking yourself after that. Right, so all we can do is search the attics, make the most of them, and then basically comic shops, they're on a kind of an honor system, really, aren't they?
Like
they
Big Ban in Dublin, Forbidden Planet in Dublin, Subsidy in Dublin, and then throughout the country, there's actually more than you think. And they would know exactly what to do.
And they're kind of duty bound, aren't they, to be honest with you and do what they can to help you.
They're card carrying members of the union. It's up to them to better the whole people's interests.
They might do handstands when you walk in with excitement. but they'll certainly look after you. God, well, I think it's going to go up to 7.5, so look forward to see what it actually does go for. And sadly, my attic has long since been cleaned, so I haven't a chance there. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us. Stephen Mooney there, Marvel artist and comic collector. If you have any, let us know what you have. We might try and get in touch with Stephen for you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.